Thank God for that promise. Hallelujah to his name. Amen. You can take that to the bank. It'll cash on you. Amen. You don't have to wait on it either. Hallelujah. I appreciate them singing for us tonight. It's come time for our last message. I appreciate Brother Joe Arthur. Pastor's down in Jonesboro, Georgia. Harvest Baptist Church. I got that right, didn't I?
Sure.
I'm getting better, ain't I?
Better.
I think I'm over my dementia, I think. Thank God. I appreciate this man. He's a blessing. Been a blessing to camp meeting. And he's no stranger to us. I want you to hear him gladly while he comes to preach to us the word of the Lord. Carry out the service ever how you feel led, brother.
Thank you, my brother.
You got
Thank
my
you, my brother.
Blessing.
The book of Judges tonight, chapter number 6. Good to be back at camp meeting. Praise God. I like this atmosphere. How about you? And if you don't like it, get used to it. We're going to have a good time. That's what heaven's going to be like. Somebody will have them a spell over there, and they'll get settled down, and somebody will have one over here, and by the time they get through, this will get cranked up again. And we'll have to have a glorified body to get it all. Old-time religion is alive and well. Don't tell these fellas that's going a different direction what a good time we're having, because they may want to move in on our territory. Why would you throw this away for the new? I'll never, ever be able to figure that out. I like that kind of singing. I like that kind of preaching. And I just want to say this. The Lord ain't in it, but I want to say it. Brother Mark may not be as big, but he ain't still as ugly. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I got worried. We pulled in the motel today, and the fire alarms were going off. Fire trucks was everywhere. And I said, Tom Gillum is smoking reefer up there on that top floor, I guarantee. But then found out he wasn't over there. But I told somebody, I said, you know you're going to a good camp meeting, honey, when the motel's on fire, praise God. If you're saved tonight, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you're glad about it, raise both of them up. Keep them up, keep them up, keep them up. Now turn to somebody with their hands lifted and say, I told you was going to shout one of these days. You say, you tricked me. It worked, praise God. And it's good to be here tonight. The book of Judges, chapter number 6. And I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 36. Judges, chapter number 6, begin reading in verse number 36. Judges chapter 6 and verse number 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew, I just want to stop and say, thank God for the dew. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and if he be dry upon all of the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And I love verse number 38. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece. Say this little phrase with me. A bowl full of water. In verse number 39, and Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me. I will speak but this once more. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all of the ground. Say it with me. Let there be dew. Thank God for the dew. Verse number 40. And God, I love this. And God, boy, I love this. And I really love this right here. And God did so that night. For it was dry upon the fleece only. And there was dew. Thank God for the dew. And there was dew on all the ground. And the Lord being our helper, I want to preach from this passage tonight. On I know he heard my prayer. I'm glad that God wrote about Gideon in the Bible. Oftentimes I've heard Bible preachers talk about Gideon having no faith or having a lack of faith or having weak faith. But I don't believe this passage shows us that Gideon has any kind of problem with faith or weak faith. In fact, I believe Gideon was a great man of faith. I believe that for two reasons. Number one, God, not me, God called him a mighty man of valor. Gideon is over there hiding from the Midianites, and God walks up and says, "Hey, mighty man of valor." Gideon said, "Wow, you must be talking to somebody else." But God called him a mighty man of valor. Number two, he did make it in the hall of fame of faith in Hebrews 11. I don't believe a man with no faith or weak faith would wind up in the hall of fame for the glory of God. I believe what God had called Gideon to do was so powerful and important and serious in his life, he just wanted to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was going to do what he said he would do. And by the way tonight, there is nothing wrong with you and I wanting to be sure and know that we know, and not just have assurance, but even Fanny Crosby said, "Blessed assurance." And so tonight Gideon goes to God with a prayer, not without any faith, not with a weak faith, not with a lack of faith, but with a burning, overwhelming desire to know that God is on his side and to know that God is going to do something in his life. In our text tonight, there are three things about Gideon's prayer that I want us to see. First of all, tonight, we see the burden of Gideon's prayer, the burden of his prayer. Gideon has a burden, and he's going to God with it in the mode of prayer. And aren't you glad tonight we can take our burdens to the Lord and leave it there? The Bible said in Psalm 55 in verse number 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." And so Gideon has a burden. You say, "Brother Joe, what is that burden?" Well, if you'll study the background of the text, it was a national crisis because of Israel's sin and their rebellion and their rejection of God. They're going to reap the consequences of rejecting God. The enemy has risen up against them, and the survival for their nation depends on what God is going to do through this man by the name of Gideon. You said, "What has that got to do with us?" Well, the Bible still says that righteousness exalted the nation and sin is a reproach unto many people. The Bible still says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Bible still says that all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. There is a truth that runs from the beginning to the end of this Bible, that God is sovereign and God is holy and God is righteous, and sin does not go unpunished. In the life of the angels, in the life of his chosen people, in the life of you and I, and in the life of a nation. I mean, Israel is at the crossroads, and their very survival depends on what God is going to do in this text. And just let me say tonight, we all know that a America is in some bad waters. We're in a bad fix in this hour. I'm only 52 years old, and I never dreamed that our nation would be in the shape that it's in tonight. And God is not going to let America by with her sin. You don't abort all of these babies and put your approval on everything that God's disgusted by, and shake your fist in God's face and get by with that. And I believe the only solution in these last days is for the salt of the earth and the light of the world. God's people, plead the blood of Christ and pray for God to send revival one more time. And so it was a national crisis. Number two, the burden. It was a personal conflict, because Gideon had decided to serve God, because Gideon had decided, instead of going along with the culture, to confront the culture and stand for God. Man, the political system of his day got mad at Gideon, and they wanted to destroy Gideon. In fact, the politicians came to Gideon's daddy's house and said, "Where is that troublemaking boy of yours? We're going to kill him. He's tore down these booths. He's tore down our idols. He's a thorn in our side, and we are going to take his life." And I don't want to discourage you tonight, but I want to be honest with you tonight. A wave of persecution against the Church of Jesus Christ is coming our way like we've not seen in our lifetime. If I've studied my history correctly, for the last 150 plus years, there's been very little religious persecution in the United States of America. But ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're in that generation where God said they'll take the evil and they'll call it good, and they'll take the good and call it evil. And you listen to this country boy tonight, if you believe the Bible and you believe God and you believe in what's right, brother, you're not in the majority. We're the off-scouring. We're the fun, the people they make fun of. I was talking to a fellow the other day. He said, "I hate all you preachers, and I hate all you Bible thumpers, and I hate all you Christians, and I'll be glad when none of you's left." I said, "If you'll hang on a little while, you're going to get your choice, because we're getting out of here one day." I believe with all of my heart that there's young people sitting under this tabernacle tonight. You may have to give your last blood to hold a Bible and go to a church. Somebody said the Supreme Court, it's going to pass a law and make us marry same sex. You look up here at me tonight. I'm God's freeborn man. I ain't got to marry nobody that I don't want to marry. I ain't got to marry you or him or anybody else I don't want to marry. And I mean, brother, they may take our tax exempt. They may make it hard on us. They may charge us with a hate crime. But I read a little verse. It said, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" We're not on the losing side, we're on the winning side. We may not be backed by the powers of the United Nations, we may not be backed by the powers of Washington, but we're backed by the power of the big three, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And I say it's time to take a stand and live for God and take our burden to the Lord and leave it there. It was a national crisis. It was a personal conflict. And then in the text, the burden was this. It was divine calling. Gideon didn't ask for this. God flung it on him. Gideon didn't sign up for this. God flung it on him. He didn't volunteer for this. God flung it on him. And this is what I love about God. He's always a step ahead of the devil. Did you know the devil's always late? He's always behind, and God's already in front. And the devil thinks he's got Israel out. He's going to stop that seed. He's going to stop the baby. He's going to plunge them into heathenism, and there'll be no godly seed. The devil thinks he's won. That nation that's separated, that nation that honors God, he's going to do away from them. But ha, 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 the sovereign God God of heaven has got him a plan. And he's, my God, I feel like preaching right there. And he's got him a man. And he goes on to the backside of the desert. And as a little old fella, he's shy. He's timid. He's like Mark Stroud. This little shy fella. And he's over there minding his own business. And he wasn't looking for God. But God was looking for him. And God walked up and said, "Hey, mighty man of valor." And Gideon said, "You must be talking to somebody else." He said, "Nope, I'm not talking to you. Son, I got a plan for your life. I'm going to use you. It's not too dark. It's not too far gone. It's not too bad. I know the Midianites is about to overrun you. I know the government is breathing down your neck. I know the signs are dark. But son, I'm God. And I'm looking for somebody that'll walk with me and serve me and get serious with me." And Gideon said, "God, I didn't choose this, but you chose me. I didn't volunteer, but you flung it on me. And God, if I'm going to do what you call me to do, I can't do it in myself. I can't do it in my flesh. God, I'm going to need you." And can I say, we're not here by accident. We're not here by afterthought. The providential sovereign, eternal God of heaven has brought us here and placed us here. We're here for such a time as this to take a stand and call on God and live for God and let God work through us. And if we're going to do what God's called us to do, we can't do it by ourselves. We need God. We need God. We need God. We need God tonight. Lord have mercy. I've seen what man can do. I've seen what movements can do. I've seen what money can do. I've seen what camps and fellowships can do. And someone said, "What camp are you in?" I'm with the one that Jesus is in. Without the camp, say amen. Oh, we've done seen what movements can do, what denominational cliques can do, and we're really not impressed, and neither this God-hating world. But I believe there's enough people under this tabernacle tonight that pant for God and thirst for God and hunger for God to see what God can do. And let me say, it's not too bad. It's not too bad. It's not too far. It's not too big. God is still great. God is still holy. God is still powerful. God is still omnipotent. God is still sovereign. He changes not. What he's done before, he can do tonight. He's able to step out in the middle of our nowhere and roll up his sleeves and lift up a standard and breathe on us again and empower us again and help us again and anoint us again and touch us again. We need God. We need God in this hour. The burden of Gideon's prayer. But I want to say this, thank God, at least he knows where to take it. He's taking it to the Lord. Mage Jackson said, he was over there in the University of North Carolina. He said, "I was in the wolf pack before God saved me. And then when I got saved, I got out of the wolf pack and got in the lamb's club." I'd have said, "Maze, if you'd been a Tar Heel before that, everything would have been all right. And Duke is of the devil. Just ask me where I stand, praise God." And he said he was in his first class, psychology class, lost without God, but he had a good mama. And said that professor got up, he said, "Boys, some of you from the mountains, you got these old-fashioned religious upbringings. You've lived a very, very sheltered and inhibited life. And I just need to remind you fellas that God is dead. God is not real. And prayer is a waste of time." Brother May said, "I was a heathen, but I knew better than that." He said, "I raised my hand." The professor looked over those glasses and said, "Mr. Jackson, what is your question?" He said, "Sir, my question is this. You're all right, some of us boys are from the mountains of North Carolina. You're all right, some of us boys come from a very religious family. And yep, you're right, my daddy's belt kept a lot of us in restriction and living a sheltered life. And he said, but my father's a sharecropper. And he said, there's been many a times it came supper time and there was nothing to eat in the house, but my little mama would go behind the barn and she'd stay about an hour and she'd come back and with her apron wiping the tears, clapping her hands, singing, I just heard from heaven and it's all right now. And he said, sir, it wouldn't be long till a car would pull up and that'd be some groceries. He said, Mr. Jackson, what is your question? He said, Mr. Professor, this is my question. If God is dead and God is not real and prayer's a waste of time, who's putting biscuits on the table after mama prays? It's not too far. It's not too dark. It's not too bad. Hallelujah. There's a God in heaven that says, call unto me and I will answer thee. Bring your burden to the Lord and leave it there, for God still answers prayer. The burden of Ezekiel's prayer. Number two, notice in our text, the basis of Gideon's prayer. What did Gideon base his prayer on? Well, the Bible said in our text that he got a fleece. And not just any kind of fleece, but a fleece of wool. Hallelujah goes right there. You say, where do you get wool from? The sacrifice of a lamb. Ooh. That lamb was led before the shear and opened not his mouth and sacrificed. And old Gideon said, God, I know I'm not much. I told you I was. And I don't know that, God, by the way, you're the one that wanted me. You're the one that chose me, and I know I ain't much, but I'm coming to you on the basis of the sacrifice of a lamb. I base my prayer on the sacrifice of a lamb. I don't come in Gideon's name. I don't come in Israel's name. I don't even come in the name of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. But oh God, I kneel and base my prayer, ooh, on the sacrifice of a lamb. You say, what has that got to do with us? I'm glad you asked. I base my prayer tonight on the sacrifice of the shed blood of God's sovereign lamb, God's special lamb, God's selected lamb, God's sacrificial lamb, God's slain lamb, God's sheltering lamb, God's saving lamb, God's sprinkled lamb, God's satisfying lamb, God's supernatural lamb, God's sweet lamb, God's sure enough lamb. If you pray in my name, he'll turn you away. You pray in your name, he'll turn you away. But tonight, if you'll approach God in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, my God Almighty, in the name of Jesus, oh, I felt something when I mentioned his name. The name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. My name's not much. Your name is not much. But there is a name, my God Almighty, above every name. It's a holy name. It's a precious name. It's an eternal name. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Saving blood. Sinless blood. Holy blood. Divine blood. Eternal blood. Faithful blood. Precious blood. I base my prayer on the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Woo! Oh, Lord. I don't have to go by that, do I? Thank you, Jesus. Somebody said, how does a heathen like you approach a God like him? Amen. I'll tell you the best thing that I ever did do. When I took off the old coat and I put on the new, that old coat was depraved and dirty and filthy. It had the stench of sin. But praise God, I got me a new coat, the robe of the Father, justified, amen, saved, and adopted, and redeemed. And tonight, when an omniscient God looks down on me, He doesn't see what I was. He doesn't see my past, but He sees me decked out in my robe of righteousness. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I approach God on that basis. I appeal to God on that basis. I beg God on that basis. And He says, on the basis of that, walk in, step in, and come boldly to the throne of grace. Woo! The basis of His prayer. I know you're not supposed to repeat yourself, but can I say it one more time? He's basing it on the sacrifice of a lamb. Well, I'm going to go in the name of the Baptist church. You're going to be disappointed. Well, I'm going to go in the name of my particular fellowship. You really are in bad shape. Well, I'm going to claim my family heritage. I'm glad you're that proud of yours. I ain't a mine. How you going to go? Oh, God, my Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, I felt it again. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Not by my own merits, but on the basis of the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. That opened up a fountain filled with blood in your name, on the basis of your blood. I want to tell you, honey, God answers prayer when it's based on the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus and the finished work of Calvary. Woo! The burden of His prayer, the basis of His prayer. And number three, I preached all night to get to this, the blessing of His prayer. What do you mean blessing? He laid that fleece up there and He said, God, let me tell you what I need you to do. Lord, I need some dew. And I ain't talking about mountain dew. I'm talking about heavenly dew. You say, what is dew? I'm glad you asked. You know how dew is formed? When warm air passes over a cold surface. How many deer hunters we got here? Somebody said, Brother Arthur, would you shoot Bambi? I sure would. His mama, his daddy, his brother, his sister, his aunts and his uncles. And last year I killed his pawpaw. I killed a deer so big last year they've canceled Christmas for 3 years in a row. Say amen, right? You ever had that buck? Boy, he's behind that bush. And boy, you just know he's going to come out there in that opening. So you bring that gun up. And it's about 32 degrees. And you start blowing your warm breath on that cold scope. It fogs up. And you can't see. And you wave at Bambi's pawpaw. And say, like a golfer, had a bad day. You say, Brother Joe, fishermen and hunters are crazy. I know, but golfers lose their temper. Say amen right there. You get dew when warm air passes over a cold surface. Did you know over there in the Middle East it is so dry that 9 months out of the year it doesn't rain? And the only thing that sustains them is what the Jewish people call God's silent rain, the dew. When them warm breezes from the Mediterranean blow over that night cold surface, it's known to get plum dewy. It just kind of sneaks in. Sneaks out, and you don't know it's there till you step in a dew puddle. Hallelujah. Did you know before God sent that manna, He dewed up the ground? and that dew did the preparatory work, and that manna fell on that dew, and that sun evaporated that dew, and it was the dew that revealed the manna. The manna was there, but they didn't see it till the dew revealed the manna. You remember that Shulamite girl? She's laying in bed, and the voice of her beloved knocks on her door. He said, "Open up, hon. The head of my hair, the hairs of my head are filled with dew." They said, "On top of Mount Hermon, how good and how pleasant when brethren dwell together in unity." You see, that mountain is 10,000 feet high. It's real cold up there, but it's right close to the Mediterranean, about 40 miles. And so when them warm breezes blow over top of that mountain, it gets plumb dewy. They say that Mount Hermon is planted right in the middle of the most arid, dry place on the planet. But yet in a 40-mile radius at the foot of that mountain are flowers and trees and all kinds of beautiful vegetation. And for years they didn't understand how it could grow in a dry place. They found out the other day, "Oh, Hermon gets so much dew that it drips off the sides and runs down the sides and waters the places that's all around it." You say, "What has that got to do with us?" I'm glad you asked. I can't, but he can. And we need to get under the spout where the Holy Ghost dew is running out, and for God to give us some dew and get so much on it, we can't hold it all and we drip on others. Gideon went to sleep that night, and God is ascending the dew. Oh, thank God, get into the spout where the dew is a running out. He's a putting that dew on that fleece. Boy, he's a putting that dew on that fleece. Oh, Gideon wakes up the next day, and there's dew tracks all around his place. Go to bed one night thinking you can't get up the next day, but you get up the next day, and lo and behold, God has marched all around you, and there's dew tracks all over your place in the morning. And Gideon goes out there and he says, "My God heard my prayer." And he said, "You know what I need to do? I need to prove it to these bunch of gainsayers." So you know what he did? He got his fleece and he wrung it together. And you know what the Bible said? He had a bowl full of water. Gideon runs back and says, "Hey, I told you God would answer prayer. I told you God is real. Look at there. I got my bowl of blessings. I got my bowl of proof. I got my bowl of water." You say, what's that got to do with us? Every one of us in this place tonight can point back to a bowl of blessing and a bowl of answered prayer. God did that. God touched that. God accomplished that. I got my bowl of water. Woo! Every time one of your youngins sang and God gets on them, that's you saying, "I got my bowl of water." Every time that son of yours right there preaches, "Hey man, take your little bowl of water, hit the devil upside the head with the cane and shove that bowl of water in his face and say, 'You low down liar, God does hear me, God does love me, I got my bowl of water.'" Lord God, amen of God. Every time you preach and give the invitation and some old sinner walks the aisle and gets saved, take your bowl of water and say, "Hey, devil, you done lied again." Girls, every time you sing and the Holy Ghost comes by and blesses one of God's young'uns, that's your bowl of water. I wonder if there's anybody under this tabernacle tonight, there's something in your life you can point to and say, "God answered that. God touched that. God did that. Thank God I got my bowl of water." Woo! The blessing of his prayer. He got dewed up and he had a bowl of water to prove it. Now watch this now. Blessed assurance. Not just assurance, but blessed assurance. "Touch me again, Lord. Be of sin the double cure. Somebody said, are you one of them Baptists that believes in the Holy Ghost? I'm glad you got that right up front. This dignified preacher said to me not long ago, he said, Dr. Arthur, I would love to have you at my place, but I don't know if my people could take it. I said, sir, your people ain't the problem. Your people ain't the problem. The problem is, sir, you've tried to monopolize God and put God in this little bitty box, and he ain't going to stay in nobody's box, not even mine. He's going to break out. Let me tell you, he'll share his power. He'll share his grace. He'll share his unction. Whoop! He'll share his mercy, but he ain't going to share his glory. He ain't going to share his glory. You ain't going to box him, the sovereign God of heaven. He'll break out every time and say, I'm God. And besides me, there is none else. So he says, God, one more time, I want you to come by again. But you're the sovereign. You don't have to duplicate yourself. So do something for me this time. Let the fleece be dry, but on the ground, put the dew. You say, what's so significant about that? Well, where do you think he's got to go take a stand? On the ground. Where do you think he's got to go put his life on the line? On the ground. Where do you think he's got to go fulfill his divine calling? On the ground. And he said, God, I can go up there and stand on that ground if you'll go ahead of me and do it up. Because God, I can go anywhere where you've been.
Amen.
I can stand anywhere where you stood. And God, if you go before me and do it up, I believe it's going to be all right. I'm glad there's a God, hallelujah, that can go before you get fair. Amen. He was before you got fair. And he ascended the dew. And may I say to you, man of God, you can go anywhere where God's been. You can stand anywhere God has stood. And the power of the dew. One of you young fellas, come here real quick, right there, real quick, son. I'm going to let you be Gideon. You get out here. You get on that fleece. And don't you worry about it. I'm a doctor. I got malpractice insurance. Get down there, son. So Gideon is before God, and he's on that fleece, and he's saying, God, I need you to put the dew on the ground. I need you to put the dew on the ground. And I can't help but believing when God's a doing it up on the ground. Hey, hey, hey. Oh, Gideon's a getting some too. Oh, Gideon's a getting some too. God's a putting it on him too. Hey, aren't you glad? Thank you, son. Ain't you glad there's been a time or two in your life when somebody got up to sing, God put the dew on them. When somebody got up to preach, God put the dew on them. And I want to say there's no problem in 2015 that we can't stand against in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, and in the power of the Holy Ghost. In the power of the Holy Ghost, I say, children, let's get under the spout where the dew is running out, and leave here tonight dripping in the dew of the power of God. No wonder he won the victory. Because with a fleece in one hand, whoop, and a bowl of blessing in the other hand, and Holy Ghost dew dripping down his face. How you going to win the victory? I got my bowl. I got my dew. And I got the sacrifice of the Lamb. I'm more than a conqueror. Oh, Lord, your offer ain't nothing tonight. Most of my buddies ain't nothing tonight. But can I say there is a God who is sovereign and omnipotent and all-powerful and divine and holy. And he sent his son to shed his blood. And he sent the Holy Ghost to do us up. I say tonight, get your head up. Walk out of this tabernacle and charge hell for the glory of God. We are more than conquerors. Through the blood of the Lamb and the power of the dew. There may be somebody in this tabernacle tonight interested in getting under the spout where the dew is running out. And if you get dewed up real good, glory to God, you'll never be the same. Let's stand together, Heavenly Father. We love